How much does Joshua Briscoe talk about Patrick Mahomes?
I will never slander the good, pure name of Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes forever!
Almost entirely.
This is actually... Oh, I heard somebody in the other studio say the word Mahomes. Sorry, I got distracted.
This is Almost Entirely Mahomes with Joshua Mahomes Briscoe.
I have the note card you sent me. I'm going to read it right now. I do believe Patrick Mahomes is better than Alex Smith. Will you release my family now?
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
Patrick Mahomes is brought to you by Almost Entirely Sports.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Ah! Ah! God. What? Did anybody else wake up today with a hangover, but not an actual hangover? Just sort of feels like one?
Yes, but for different reasons.
Right. Well, so that's not... I'm not asking if anybody went to sleep last night with an empty bottle of liquor under their arm.
Or 12.
I'm not asking if anybody else... what? If anybody else went to bed last night sleeping on top of 15 bottles of Fireball.
Actually, it's a waterbed, and instead of water, it's booze, and I just have a straw in it.
Oh, man, but I feel like I have a football hangover right now. And not for a good reason. Not like you do after, like, a crazy week of games. You wake up the next day, and you're like, oh, God, I don't know if I can even get through this Monday. I had so much football yesterday. It was so fun. Not today.
It was dark yesterday.
Today is, like...
Even for me, as, like, the semi-casual Chiefs fan.
Right.
I just surrounded by everybody else that was in the building yesterday. Like, I walked in with about a quarter left of the game to go because I was supposed to get there before postgame was done.
Sure.
And I just hear Frank yell, oh, bleep. I was like, yep, that sums it up.
Yeah, it was not good.
No.
And you know how not good it was? Beards has another little thing. We're going to have last week on, if you're a regular listener to this show, you know that every Monday to start the show, we have a little last week on Almost Entirely Sports, and we play funny stuff that happened from last week. Not today. Today, we're going to save that to the 2 o'clock, or the second
hour.
To the 5 o'clock hour to give us a little bit of a break, because we're going to need it.
Oof.
I'm also, by the way, the show's actually called Almost Entirely Sports, if you're just hearing it for the first time. But it was almost entirely Patrick Mahomes in the preseason because I'm infatuated with the idea of the Chiefs having an actual franchise quarterback. Again, if this is the first time listening to the show, I'm not going to spend the whole show telling you all the reasons that Patrick Mahomes should start next week.
That's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow's show. No, but we're gonna start now here. Beards loves working whenever something terrible has happened.
I like to make magic out of chaos.
He does. That's a good way to put it. And here's something that Beards whipped up that is at least going to let us all kind of feel some emotions together.
I say, on the record, if the Chiefs lose to the Giants on Sunday.
Placement is down, low snap, Rosas' kick is good, and the Chiefs have lost to the New York Giants.
I'm going to call Elon Musk and ask him to personally build me a rocket ship that he can use to launch me directly into the sun. Even the guys that you fear the most on this team don't strike fear into my heart, like Orleans Darkwa.
And Darkwa slamming in from the right side, and the Giants have the lead.
I say, on the record, if the Chiefs lose to the Giants on Sunday, I'm going to call Elon Musk and ask him to personally build me a rocket ship that he can use to launch me directly into the sun.
Because you have. I did tweet Tesla. And I haven't heard back yet.
I feel like you're not on their priority list.
Yeah, no, I'm probably not. But I did promise that I would at least reach out. And I have asked. And I've not heard back yet. I think I also said last week that if the Chiefs lost to the Giants for any reason whatsoever, I would come in and say that Patrick Mahomes should start, Bob Sutton should be fired, and Clark Hunt should be ashamed of himself.
Ah, Bob Sutton!
Bob Sutton shouldn't be fired because of yesterday.
What?
The other stuff is true. All right, so where do we even start? We can.
How about Kelsey's touchdown throw that wasn't?
No. Because you know what? At least whenever that ball left Travis Kelsey's hand, I was actually excited.
That was like for the wrong reasons, though.
No, I was excited that there was a deep shot, that the offense was aggressive for 2 seconds. I'm done with it. I'm over the music. All right, so listen. We spent a lot of last week talking about the fatalism of Chiefs fans. And Arrowhead Addict tweeted yesterday, before the game was over, because actually Arrowhead Addict, I think it was Matt Connor tweeting it, was saying that the Chiefs would win. And the Chiefs would be 7-3 with the most depressed fan base in the NFL. And now they're 6-4 with the most depressed fan base in the NFL. Even though they're still probably like a top dozen team in the league. But this is the thing, man. Beards, have you seen the movie Marley and Me?
No.
Are you familiar with how it goes?
I know of the movie, yes.
Okay.
I know the dog dies.
So here's
As
my,
does any movie about a dog.
Here's my analogy for this Chiefs season. The Chiefs fans are always going to be the most depressed fans in the NFL because watching the Chiefs is like watching Marley and Me for the second time. So you don't get to have a great time watching this really cool dog grow up with its loving family because I know how the story ends, and it sucks.
Ooh, actually, I have a counter
bring it on.
Explanation. Okay. So, have you seen Shawshank Redemption?
No.
Are you familiar with Shawshank Redemption?
Vaguely.
So, a guy gets sent to prison wrongly, and,
yeah.
You know, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, he crawls through poop and gets out.
He crawls through poop and gets out. Chiefs are like the Shawshank Redemption, except he doesn't crawl through poop and get out. He gets killed in prison. So, there's a lot of hope built up in the movie. It's nice, yada,
right,
yada.
And then he gets
and
killed.
And then somebody just knifes him.
Sure. Right.
He gets beaten up.
The Chiefs don't get happy endings.
No.
The dog doesn't live. He doesn't escape prison. The Chiefs don't get happy endings until they do, and then it'll change. But if you've been a pessimistic Chiefs fan, you understand. And if you are an optimistic Chiefs fan, you can apologize at JB Briscoe. Because, man, some of you guys were freaking out the first 5 weeks when I was going, you know what? This is awesome. I'm having fun, and this is good. But, man, I'm nervous. I'm having a hard time figuring out exactly where to start, and we're going to cover it all over the course of the next hour and 50 minutes today. And we'll talk about it tomorrow, and we'll talk about it on Wednesday, and we'll go have good food on Thursday and try to forget about it. And then Friday, Beards and I are going to be doing Between the Lines over on 810, filling in for Kevin Keatsman. So that will be fun. We'll get to bring this act to a larger stage. So we're going to be talking about this a lot. We're going to get plenty of mileage out of this game. And next week, the Chiefs are probably going to play Nathan Peterman. And they're going to be back on the winning streak.
Are they, though?
It seems that way.
Are they really going to play Peterman?
It seems very plausible.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they that dumb?
Yeah, it's not good.
Really?
Yeah. But here's the stat and the question that have stuck with me most over the last 24 hours. The Giants had given up 84 points in the last 2 weeks. How do you have Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt against this team and score 9 points? Now, listen, I know too much about Andy Reid, and I know too much about Alex Smith to think that either of them are just trash at their job. I don't think that about either of them. But the answer to that question can literally only be three things. How do you score 9 points with Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Kareem Hunt against the New York Giants, who have given up 84 points in the last 2 weeks? The only answers can be your play calling slash preparation by coaching, your quarterback, or your offensive line. I know the third biggest problem yesterday was the offensive line. It wasn't very good, but it was good enough. It was plenty decent. The offensive line has problems. Zach Fulton started at left guard. The offensive line has its issues. It is not an elite offensive line. And spoiler alert, it's going to look about the damn same for the next year or two, because that's an expensive offensive line with guaranteed money. So the offensive line didn't help. It also wasn't the sole problem. It wasn't the biggest problem. Andy Reid was, what, 16-2, I think, coming off of the bye in his coaching career, his head coaching career? I think it was 16-2. Forgive me if it's not exactly that. It's very close.
It was good.
It was very good. And I can't even begin to describe to you. He was 16-2, by the way, including a win last year, it looks like. Reid is 16-2 coming off of the bye week. Now 16-3. I can't even explain to you how unprepared this team looked. And now I'm not going to tell you that Andy Reid was incapable of getting this team ready. But they were going up against a terrible football team. One of the two worst teams in football. It goes Browns, Giants, Niners right now at the bottom end of the league. Worst, second worst, third worst. That's the stand-up right there. Those are the standings. And the Chiefs were unprepared. And it was embarrassing. And Andy Reid has to be devastated at this point, honestly. He must be beside himself with how his team looked. Coming out of a bye week, putting up 9 points. By the way, Philip Gaines, bad cornerback, not the reason the Chiefs lost. Spare me, please God.
Also, it was against the Giants.
Against the Giants. Thank you, Beards. And so I don't know anymore what was real and what was a mirage. There's a stat I'm going to give you about Alex Smith here in a minute that's going to blow your mind. But I don't know what happened through the first 5 weeks. I don't know if that's the real Chiefs or if those are the Mirage Chiefs. I don't know which is which. But this offense has gone full 2016, and I hate it. I hate it. Andy Reid literally trusted Travis Kelce yesterday to throw the deep ball more than he trusted Alex Smith to do it. I don't have the metrics in front of me, but I am 95% sure that the deepest pass thrown yesterday was thrown by the Chiefs tight end. Other than that, the offense was timid. I think Smith had two good throws, and we're going to talk about Alex Smith in full here in just a moment. But the offense, and I'm saying offense from Andy Reid's perspective, not the offense from Alex Smith's perspective. Well, we will get to him last. But it was scared. Andy Reid seemed like he didn't trust Alex Smith. I don't know if it was a wind thing. It wasn't a wind thing. Bleep the wind thing, by the way. But I don't know if that was scaring Andy Reid. But he didn't trust Alex Smith. And Alex Smith didn't trust the offensive line. He got jumpy. And the only deep shot of the first three quarters was the overthrow to Ross Travis until the end of the quarter, deep shot to Tyreek Hill, which worked. That was it. Andy Reid's play calling was not good. The run game was not good. It was not used well. Kareem Hunt tried to take over the game in the fourth quarter. It didn't work. It wasn't enough. Let's talk about the quarterback then. Alex Smith wasn't underwhelming Alex Smith yesterday. I've seen underwhelming Alex Smith. Underwhelming Alex Smith, I think you could fairly say, won the Broncos game. Underwhelming Alex Smith can win you football games. Underwhelming Alex Smith is like 50% of Alex Smith in the sample size of his whole career. Yesterday was not underwhelming Alex Smith day. Yesterday was disastrous Alex Smith. He threw you out of games. By the way, can you even imagine how we would be talking today if his second interception that he threw hadn't been undone by a pass interference call? Can you imagine the blood that would be spilt today? He made that throw, and the pass interference call was not great. It was not the most blatant pass interference I've ever seen. The conversation we'd be having today would be even more fire and brimstone. This might have been the worst game of Alex Smith's Chiefs career, honestly. I think that's plausible. He had a couple of bad overthrows. As a guy who, doesn't lose you games, that's the game manager side of Alex Smith was that. And then the first 5 weeks was MVP Alex Smith. Remember MVP Alex Smith? That was the first 5 weeks. And he was there the first 5 weeks. I never said that his first 5 weeks weren't MVP caliber. I told you that I didn't trust them. The sample size on Alex Smith is too great for an amazing game against the Patriots and then four very good games after that to convince me that we'd been seeing a false version of Alex Smith the decade prior. That's fair. I'm going to toot my own horn plenty today, I have a feeling. But so as now, the guy who doesn't lose you games, as the undeniable strength of his game, he had a couple of really bad overthrows. He skipped a 10-yard pass by about 10 yards. And Sam Mellinger said, by the way, that pass was with the wind. So good luck on that one. Everybody doing physics to try to defend Alex Smith yesterday. Good God. He threw an interception when he needed to keep the Chiefs in the game. He had something like two good passes all day. It was atrocious. Also, the Chiefs ended up settling for the field goal at the end to force overtime. The embarrassment could have been avoided if Alex Smith throws that pass in the end zone whenever he tried to scramble it right at the end, and then the Chiefs had to kick a field goal the next play. He could have thrown that pass, had another chance to throw it into the end zone if he just throws it away, and then you settle for the field goal to force overtime. Also, earlier in the game, I just tweeted out the phrase, "It makes me unreasonably sad that Alex Smith took a sack on a free play." Also, somebody tweeted yesterday, and I'm going to have to go back during the next commercial break. I have to go back and sarcastically quote tweet some people who were giving me bleep during the game for this opinion and what I was saying here. Somebody said, "What happened to MVP Alex Smith?" I responded with, "That's like asking what happened to Santa Claus." There never was a Santa Claus, and there never was an MVP Alex Smith. It was just your parents and normal Alex Smith. Santa didn't die when you turned 12. You just realized he wasn't real. That's what happened. It's also how I should have started the show, and probably how we'll start the show on Friday, if I'm being honest, because I love that analogy so much. And listen, your parents giving you gifts on Christmas is still great. Who doesn't love presents? But it's a little less magical than the presents that Santa's bringing you on Flying Reindeer. It's just not real.
So is Kareem Hunt Rudolph in this expression?
Ooh, this is good. I think Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce are the reindeer because they're dragging Alex Smith along with them. Kareem Hunt, maybe they're all the reindeer. Maybe all of his weapons are the reindeer. And then so like Albert Wilson, broke a hoof. And then Chris Conley broke an antler. And so the sleigh was getting
into
a little
Albert
lighter.
Wilson.
What?
Into Albert Wilson.
Yes.
Broke his antlers.
Perfect. But it's just, like right now and around the horn we're talking, how bad of a loss for the Chiefs. There's so many ways this game doesn't become a national story. Just the victory would have made it a local story where we would have had to have been like, this is not good. Here's the stat. I digress on that point. Here's the stat, though. This is from Pro Football Focus. Through the first 5 weeks of the season, Alex Smith was either the second or third ranked quarterback behind Tom Brady and right beside Drew Brees. One of the two or three best rated quarterbacks in football. And from the Alex Smith fan club, I heard people cite that. Which is fine. He was. Since week six, Alex Smith has been the number 27 Pro Football Focus graded quarterback in that stretch. He went from a second or third ranking to a 27th. Now here's the thing that to keep everyone level-headed here. You have now, for this season, you have two equal sample sizes. One of them is more recent than the other, but you have two equal sample sizes. 5 games of MVP Alex Smith and 5 games of Blake Bortles Alex Smith. That's harsh. Of Tyrod Taylor Alex Smith. You have 5 games of MVP Alex Smith and 5 games of Tyrod Taylor Alex Smith. What do you do with that? If you have a preconceived opinion on Alex Smith, you're probably going to go more in one direction than another. But from where I stand, I think about what I said in week 5 as I was trying to keep my measured case on Alex Smith level-headed. We had all of last season, and I'm not even going to go beyond last season. You can go back to 2015 if you want. The previous 2 years with Alex Smith as a Chief, we had that sample size. And the first 5 games of 2017 gave you a new, relatively small, but much more optimistic sample size. So huge portions of the fan base said, oh, no, I want that. I want the new sample size because it's more recent. And that's fine. Because if you're going to do sample sizes on things that have lots of variables, things that can change, it's only logical to want the more recent sample. But you also have to do that now. If you wanted to use the first 5 games of this season as a smaller but more recent sample of what Alex Smith could be, now, 5 games later, you have to also weight these 5 games more heavily than the 5 games prior. Logically. And if you don't want to be logical about it, that's fine. I understand. But if you want to be logical about it, that is the only way you can do it. And also, you have to look at these last 5 games and decide what each cause was, what each excuse was. Seth Kaiser on Arrowhead Pride, we'll probably talk to him later this week at some point. He wrote an article that came out, I think, this morning saying that this is the one that you can't make an excuse for. Against the Steelers, it was, the Steelers have the Chiefs' number. The Steelers just, it's the Steelers. And against the Raiders, it was, it's a wacky Thursday night game, and the refs weren't very good, and it's just a crazy game. And against the Cowboys, it was, the Cowboys are a really good team. It was on the road. They're a really good team whenever they're healthy and they got other players. That's a really, really good team. What was it yesterday? A fluky bad offensive game? We've got a couple more of those in the ones I just mentioned. The Steelers game, that offense was terrible. Last year against the Steelers, that offense was terrible. The Cowboys game, that offense was not good enough by a long shot. So if you want to come up and say that yesterday was just a fluky bad Alex Smith game and that he's going to get back to his form in the first 5 weeks, God bless you. I just don't know why you would say that.
I will make a cross-sports comparison very quickly.
Sure. What NBA team are you going to compare Alex Smith to?
Well, the last couple of years, the Warriors, who average win about 69 games over the last 3 years. Yeah, very nice. They always, for whatever reason, get blown out by the Lakers. The Lakers are objectively bad.
Yes.
That just happens.
Yes.
You take an off night, you get beat up by a team that you should win.
But that's an advantage, though, that NBA teams have. If you have an off night...
No, that is very true.
1/82nd of your schedule was laying an egg. If this is the Chiefs' only egg that they lay this season, and if they end up going 12-4, then we'll have to sing a different tune a few weeks from now. But yesterday didn't look like a fluke. That's the other thing, man. They're just not as good as the Steelers. Fine. Fluky game against the Raiders. Fine. Not as good as the Cowboys. Fine, but make sure you knock them down a couple pegs. The Chiefs should be better than everybody else in their schedule from here on out by a good margin, including the Giants yesterday. There wasn't a thing that went wrong yesterday. There wasn't a thing that went right. It's not that there was, that Eli Manning just went off. He didn't. He completed, less than half of his passes. It's not like the Giants ran the ball very well. They didn't. The Giants were bad. Their offense was bad. They had a huge stretch where they were punting or turning the ball over for, eight or nine possessions in a row, something bonkers. The Chiefs are being given gifts. And they never cashed any of them.
Do you want Eli's stat line real quick?
Sure.
19 for 35, 205 yards, 0 touchdowns, 0 interceptions, 5 rushing yards.
I mean, the Giants never gave you a reason to think that they were beating you. They missed an extra point, for bleep's sake. So there are 1,000 things from yesterday. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of them here in just a second whenever we come back from the break. But there can be no explanation of yesterday. You can't explain yesterday away. It wasn't a fluky game. It wasn't the Steelers just being better. It wasn't a team just being better. It wasn't a referee making a bad call. It was the Chiefs being thoroughly manhandled by one of the worst teams in football. And their veteran head coach, who is exquisite off of the bye, and their quarterback, who doesn't make mistakes and at least performs to the level of his surroundings, both of them failed at their jobs yesterday and ended up in an embarrassing loss. If those guys are all reindeer, then who is Rudolph?
I still think it's Kareem Hunt.
Butker.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
I think what you just convinced me in one question is the Chiefs are the Royals and I'm living in hell.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Everybody hurts.
Yes, we do. Yes, I do. Yes, you do. Yes, the Chiefs do. If you're watching the show on Facebook, you can always see the show every day at facebook.com/ESPN Kansas City. Just search ESPN Kansas City on Facebook, like the page. We live stream the show every day. There have been some questions and some comments, and we're gonna go through a bunch of these here throughout the show today. We'll talk about Patrick Mahomes in a second. Eddie, though, has pointed out that there are lots of parents driving their kids home right now, having to do some serious damage control. Sorry about that. I didn't think about the
consequences of my Santa analogy.
Tooth Fairy, though, totally legit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Easter Bunny, I've seen him. Her, it, I don't know. What I meant to say is that there are lots of Santas you see in malls and stuff, but only one of them is the real Santa. They're all filling in for the real Santa because he's really busy. So mall Santas are like Santa's big helpers.
I was gonna say there's one mall Santa that is the real Santa, and every other kid that goes to one of the fake Santas, yes, they're just out of luck that year.
That's a good point.
Also, I wanted to comment really quickly. Of course, I have NFL Fantasy Live on my TV in here for a very sad reason I can't control. And there was a guy that's doing the show whose name is Matt, quote, Money Smith. And he absolutely looks like he would give himself that nickname.
All right, really quick, let's do a Google search for Matt Money Smith. Does Matt Money Smith look like a guy? Yep, he looks like a guy who gave himself that nickname, 100%.
Yep.
Good call. So yeah, we'll go through all the comments and stuff later on. I just wanted to put that out there that yes, the Easter Bunny super super real, Tooth Fairy super real,
Tooth Fairy Mafia very dangerous.
Oh God, don't ever threaten the Tooth Fairy Mafia. You have told your kids about the Tooth Fairy Mafia, right? Actually, in a weird, sick twist, elves are real, but Santa's not. So, like, they're doing all the work, and they have to have a figurehead, so they invented Santa. That's what I meant. The elves are still making your
it's
toys.
It's the leader of their fake union.
Yeah. He's the Roger Goodell. Like, he has no power. He's just sort of there at the top. And the elves are the real money, the real power. Okay, back into the pits of depression. What do you say? Oh, man, I wanted to point out what Travis Kelce said yesterday. He said, until we can beat the cover two, we're gonna struggle. Here's an article from Arrowhead Addict. This is the quote. Teams are running cover two. Until we can beat cover two, both in the run game and the passing game, we're going to struggle. That doesn't sound like a problem you're supposed to have with the quarterback at the line of scrimmage who is supposed to, like, that's his strength, right? Like, if Alex Smith can't beat a cover two because it's too crazy, cover too fast, too furious, then what are you doing? Like, is that it? Is the game over if they're running a cover two? It's completely bonkers to me. Because, again, that's supposed to be his strength. Like, okay, they got a couple of safeties. Oh, now what? Oh, God. I expect more of that from that. Excuse, more than that. There we go. I expect more than that from Alex Smith. That's embarrassing. Anyway, a couple other things. I say a couple other things like the show's ending. Here are like the fourth and fifth things of the 15 things from yesterday. Allen on Twitter said that the Chiefs have zero confidence in Smith. Philly runs the same offense as the Chiefs, and they aren't doing gimmick tight end, wide receiver, running back throws, sideways runs, and misdirections. Everything is centered around Wentz's arm, and the power runs set up the play action. And I think this is really interesting. I think this is insightful. I don't think that Andy Reid trusts Alex Smith. I actually said that a couple of weeks ago, Hong Kong. I said a couple of weeks ago, I think that's a problem this offense has, is it's getting more timid. I think it's Andy Reid not wanting to ask Alex Smith to do more than he's capable of. Again, I said this like 2 weeks ago. I feel very smart. You should listen to me 3 times a day.
listen to the show live, then download the podcast, listen to it again, then download the other podcast with the Reverend Kicker feed, listen to it there also. No, honk that horn. I will not apologize for making you honk the horn whenever I'm this right. All right, that's enough. But we've been talking about that here. Andy Reid's going to ask Alex Smith to do what he thinks Alex Smith can do. Doug Peterson thinks Carson Wentz can do it all. So they're running Doug Peterson's offense, which comes from Andy Reid, and they're doing it with a better offensive line, admittedly. I don't know they're doing it with a better running back. I think Jay Ajayi is a better running back than Kareem Hunt. Meh. You think Nelson Agholor and Alshon Jeffrey are better, and Zach Ertz, I guess. You think those three guys are better than Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce? And then, you know, I guess you have a drop-off to the third weapon for the Chiefs currently. But I don't think the third weapon determines the success there. The quarterback does. And what the head coach asked the quarterback to do. So I think there's some real truth in the trust thing. You don't need all of these gimmicks whenever you fully trust your quarterback. And I think it goes back to the idea that Reed doesn't want to expose Alex Smith's weaknesses by asking to do more than he's capable of doing. That's a good trait in a head coach or an offensive coordinator or a play caller, period. You shouldn't ask. It would be like asking Philip Gaines to have one-on-one coverage to the end of the game. Oh, damn it.
So I've been looking over the comment section, and there's a name that keeps popping up and up and over again. It's Mahomes.
We're gonna get there. We're gonna get there, and I, but not yet, because I wanna figure out what happened yesterday before we come up with what's next. Fair or not, that's the move today. The move today, and maybe in tomorrow's show is what's next. The second hour of today's show is what's next.
I know what didn't happen yesterday. Mahomes didn't play.
That's also true. But first, what happened? We gotta figure out what happened yesterday before we can make an informed decision on the next thing. And I know that you probably don't come here necessarily for reservations in slow movements and slow actions. But that's what we're doing right now, because you gotta figure out what happened yesterday before you start just pulling triggers. So I do think, though, because the Mahomes conversation comes in, the reason that Andy Reid wanted Patrick Mahomes is because he can entrust him with more. It's also the newest and most important reason for why I don't think that Andy Reid is going to somehow ruin Patrick Mahomes. He's not by only asking him to do what Alex Smith would do. The comparison to Alex Smith was available at that point. Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is better than Alex Smith has ever been already. Don't at me, but I think that's true. Another thing, bleep the wind. Honestly, Butker was good. Kelce threw a pass like 50 yards in the air. Eli Manning had a couple of deep throws. I am completely uninterested in hearing all of the reasons that Alex Smith was bleeped over by the wind.
Hey, man, it could have gusted right then.
I mean, I'm looking at it. I'm seeing replays right now. The pass went over DeMarcus Robinson's head.
There's the Kelce
35-yard line to the other 15. Well, how many yards is that? From the 35 to the other 15? It's like 60 yards. Because, yeah, it's like 50. Right? Because 35-yard line to the other 15-yard line, it's 60 yards. Because you subtract. No, it's 50. It is 50. 35 to other 15. 35 plus 15 is 50. So the distance between the two is also 50 because you're subtracting it from 100. You with me?
Sure. Just keep going. We'll ignore it.
Travis Kelce threw that ball 50 yards in the air.
He threw it a lot of yards.
And there was the interception went over DeMarcus Robinson's head. That's not the wind didn't lift it. What about the one that skipped? What about the other interception that was just a bad decision? What about Alex Smith dropping his eyes whenever he shouldn't have? What about there's a gif going around of one of the sacks that he took where he had a clean bleeping pocket and he had time, and he even had a gap he could have run through, but he panicked, man. He panicked, and he scrambled around, and he ran into a defender, and he got sacked. We cannot have a panicking Alex Smith again. On the play-calling side of things, the Travis Kelce pass was awful, and the play-calling all day was teetering between uninspired and insane with really no middle ground. It was just that teeter-totter. Uninspired, insane, insane. Which is also what the Giants were doing, which makes it even more incomprehensible that this Chiefs offense couldn't do more. I wanted to barf the whole time. And also, the defense, the pass rush was not good. Justin Houston had some rush, some hurries, no contact. He spent the whole day opposite a rookie undrafted free agent right tackle. Bob Sutton was more creative later in the game. Zombo, like an actual pass rusher. The defensive backs were getting brought on some blitzes. That was all good. Phillip Gaines was wrecked at the end. That was obviously going to happen when Steven Nelson got hurt. In fact, I tweeted that. I said Eli Manning is bad, but he isn't stupid. Phillip Gaines going to have to keep this game alive. RIP game. And then that happened. That was only the most predictable thing in the world. And now that is all of the major topics on my notes. Except for I have one more word. I mean, I have like what we do next and some other talking points. But I have one more section of my notes that has a single word above it in bold with a couple paragraphs of questions and thoughts. That word. Like the bat signal up against the skyline of Kansas City at night. Just says, Mahomes.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
I am saying that Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Patrick Mahomes is Aaron Rodgers.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Let's do it. The warm embrace between Chiefs fans and Patrick Mahomes will be met with tears. Let's talk about Patrick Mahomes. We've talked throughout the show today a lot about everything that went wrong yesterday. That's the next conversation that is always going to be had. So there are a couple of people on Twitter asking questions. Somebody made a really good point. I'm going to take those, talk about those, and then I'll head over to the comments on the Facebook live stream. Also, if you're listening to this on the podcast later or you're not watching on Facebook at all, you can always tweet me at JB Briscoe. Jordan said, very kindly at the front end, said, I'm not going to argue, just curious of your opinion. Thank you, Jordan, for that. That was nice. That was better than most of the trolls that... And I don't mean like internet trolls. I mean like Lord of the Rings trolls, like orcs coming through my mentions with a club and an Alex Smith jersey. He said, are the Chiefs able to win the Super Bowl this year? Yes or no? Because if it's not a convincing yes, then I don't understand the harm in starting Mahomes and getting him ready for next year. That was the exact discussion that we were having this offseason. That's what I was saying in May. Do you know what? I don't think this Chiefs team can win a Super Bowl as currently constituted. So why wouldn't you start the Mahomes train rolling? Now, it seems like he's been able to learn from behind Alex Smith how to prepare an Andy Reid's offense and he's able to get through all of those steps. I think it was Matt Walden we talked to right before the season started, and he was saying, listen, man, seriously, he says, like learning, we ended up saying, it's like learning your lines for a play. You're going to have them memorized so deep inside your brain before you can go out and start executing other things, like every motion of your act. So I think that was the best reasoning for not starting Mahomes before the season, other than thinking the Chiefs had an actual chance to win the Super Bowl this year. And if they had Eric Berry, it would be different. If the Chiefs were the only team in football impervious to injuries, maybe it would be different. But, like, Seattle right now is losing defensive backs left and right. But they have a quarterback who you know can make plays consistently and has been making plays for a few years now. So it's not over there. All right, I just gave you a little taste. Just a little taste of the Mahomes talk. We're going to do it for the whole bleeping next hour.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City. This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
Previously on Almost Entirely Sports.
I meant to warn you at the front end that this show is, we're going to talk about some NFL stuff and some Chiefs stuff, but you're going to have to, this show is going to be unapologetically this show today. Penguins poop every 15 minutes. So this is also now my new and exclusive measurement for time. We have been doing this show today for one penguin poop.
We're a buffet today.
Yes, that's a great call.
And we are absolutely shoving it down your throat.
I will show how to pronounce this word. Let's start. Phoenixes. And one more time. Phoenixes.
And one more time.
Phoenixes. That's all.
Charlie has now come up to the window and I think just exposed his nipple to Rudy just for no reason.
That's what KU fans do. They expose their nipples for no reason.
You said 40 poops, right?
I think that's right.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, we're good.
Okay.
40 poops. 8 poops a day.
A show.
Yeah.
8 poops a show.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Phoenixes.
Everybody together now, ready? Let's go.
Phoenixes.
By the way, actually, I just got a tweet from somebody. They said that Billy Preston's car is actually an Adidas. So that's worrisome.
Peters can't tackle.
So this is the thing.
He sucks.
This is...
Bum!
This is the problem.
Can't tackle?
I just...
Rage!
I'm the Jerry Jones of this show. Sorry, I threw my mouth a little bit. Everybody in this building's got a side hustle. Why can't my side hustle be selling drugs? If I'm doing it safely. All right, whenever we come back, more football, more sushi, more cocaine, more Almost Entirely Sports. Last week was an incredible week of shows.
Tight fit for all that stuff in there.
There was no Chiefs game last week.
No.
And we did that?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm guessing that there's extra nonsense and everything, but holy cow.
Oh, there was a lot of nonsense.
Wow. Like, there was a bunch of that felt like it was a month ago.
That's what a loss to the Giants would do to you.
Yeah, no kidding.
I feel 30.
Are you not 30?
I am now.
All right, so I told you the end of the last segment, and if you're just joining us now at the top of the hour, that was the last week on. Those are things that you might not have heard, you might have missed from last week's set of shows. We're now in the second hour of our morning today, morning with the U in it. And we've talked about every single thing that went wrong yesterday, I think, including the fact that, again, Travis Kelce's admitted that the Chiefs are getting castrated by the cover two, which is really embarrassing because you have an offensive genius head coach, as I put it in quotes, and like a human computer playing quarterback. That's got to be really good fodder for... Hashtag start Mahomes and that crew. What did you just run it? You just scream at your television, Beards.
I wanted to change it from NFL Total Access, and I changed it to our other channel, and it was also NFL Total Access.
What a tragedy.
TVs hate me.
I'm sorry.
Hate.
But that's really rough for the no, we need his veteran leadership crew. And so at the end of last hour, we started the Mahomes conversation, and we're going to go much farther into it through the rest of the show here today. Because, as I mentioned, Jordan on Twitter said, are the Chiefs going to win a Super Bowl this year? Are they capable of winning a Super Bowl this year? And if they're not, then why wouldn't you start Mahomes and get him ready for next year? Which, again, that was my argument in the preseason. It wasn't really even an argument. I was just saying, hey, can we talk about this? That was my topic of conversation that I wanted to have. In the preseason, because I looked at this team and I looked at the Steelers and I looked at the Patriots and I saw a Chiefs team that was not going to win a Super Bowl, that wasn't even going to make it past the Patriots or Steelers in the playoffs, whenever that would be. And by the way, I still think there's a fine chance they could beat one of those teams. It's really, the NFL is dumb. But I don't feel very good about the Chiefs today. And so here's something you can mark this for forever, Beards. The Chiefs are probably going to win or lose a couple more games from here on out. Like, who really knows? There, put that in a montage of me being wrong. For me to be wrong, we have to either literally win every game from this moment through the Super Bowl or not win another game the rest of this season and finish 6-10. The Chiefs are going to finish somewhere between... Oh, you know what? I'm going to just crank it up. The Chiefs are going to finish somewhere between 9-7 and a Super Bowl this year. If I'm wrong about that, then I'll build my own rocket to fly into the sun. But I understand, though, feeling like this season is predetermined. I felt that way. Somebody tweeted me at halftime and said, "Is it too early to hit the eject button on this season?" I said, no. I mean, it is too early to hit the eject button, but it's also totally understandable for you to just feel like this whole season has been predetermined. Because it's how it always goes. That's how I felt in May. So Zach asks, he says, is it all aboard the Mahomes train after, he said actually he said the Mahomes Express, I don't know why I said train. He said, is all aboard the Mahomes Express after today again? For me, I've been wanting to see him for a while. I would so much rather watch exciting losses with a gunslinger than a literal loaf of bread throwing away the game every week. And calling Alex Smith a literal loaf of bread is equal parts unfair and hysterical. But it is hysterical, and it's also unfair. But I get it, man. I get it. The fact that yesterday's game launched a handful of people into the, all right, please, just let me see what Mahomes can do. Launching people into that crowd completely makes sense. I get it. Yesterday was, not only did yesterday suck, it was boring and it was against a bad team. But also on Twitter, Gary made a comment that I think is right on the money. Well, not right on the money. I'll take some issue with it, but I think this is largely the way it is for the Chiefs. He says, a coach fearful of being fired would start Mahomes next week. Reed's not that coach. Casey's immediate goal should be to get Smith to finish this season strong and trade him for picks and or a cornerback. Benching Smith would destroy his value and be a bad move for this franchise's future. Now, I don't think it would destroy Alex Smith's value, but it would hurt it. The Chiefs are going to want to maintain the illusion of at least considering keeping Alex Smith next season, so teams have to offer something to get him. Now, these last 5 weeks have been really bad for Alex Smith's trade value. I get that. But he still is going to demand something. So I still think that at this moment, as I've said every second of the way, all of the conversations about Mahomes are worthwhile. All of my questions about Mahomes, I'm glad I've asked. But all along, I've maintained the belief that Alex Smith is going to start every snap for this Chiefs team, barring injury. And a blowout, I guess, when they're winning. Alex Smith is not going to be benched for Patrick Mahomes this year. I would be stunned. I would also be excited by that, to be terribly honest. I would be thrilled because it would mean that Andy Reid thinks this offense would be better with Patrick Mahomes and not just every fan, and that means something to me. So I would be pretty tickled to see Andy Reid want to make that switch. I just don't expect him to at all. And I do, as I have for every moment since the draft, continue to expect him to be the starting quarterback next year, him being Patrick Mahomes. But I don't think it's going to happen this year. So Clinton made a point that was followed up. I'm going to make sure I can find it again here. I don't see it now. I'm going to work on it. We'll figure it out. Oh, and RJ. So Clinton and RJ have both made some kind of like conflicting points here that I think is a really good conversation. This is in the Facebook comment section. Clinton says, as soon as we put in Mahomes this year, it tells the other guys that a Super Bowl is not in the cards. Defensive key guys then have nothing to play for. The counterpoint was brought up by RJ, who said, all this talk about the locker room's morale going down if they make a quarterback switch is untrue. If you ask me, after seeing that sideline in the preseason and then fast-forwarding to the regular season, seeing Kelce throw his hands up in the air after constantly being missed wide open by Alex, I have a hard time believing that this team wouldn't be all about Mahomes as their starting quarterback. And I'm a little bit more in the second school of thought there. Now, if Mahomes goes out and looks like Nathan Peterman, then yeah, of course. Then that's the
pitchforks,
right?
Torches,
right?
Mob.
Travis Kelce might literally kill Andy Reid.
We want Smith back.
I don't think that would happen for fans. By the way, I think fans would be relatively patient with Patrick Mahomes. I really think, and this might be the most ridiculous thing I've ever said.
These are NFL fans, though.
I think Chiefs fans are going to have some patience with Patrick Mahomes because we have had so long in between drafting franchise quarterbacks and even trying for a franchise quarterback. I mean, there hasn't been one in my lifetime. Brody Croyle doesn't count. There's been such a drought that I think Chiefs fans are going, I could be wrong, but I think they're going to be relatively patient with the development of Pat Mahomes.
They're NFL fans. That's the issue.
They're Chiefs fans. It's different.
But they're NFL fans.
The counter argument is that they're going to want him to be Alex Smith at minimum right out of the gate, and that's unfair. Because I do think, now I thought this before yesterday, and yesterday was really atrocious. I do think that this team would be worse off this season with Patrick Mahomes than with Alex Smith. I've also said that since the preseason. Although I also said at one point that I think this team has a better chance of beating the Patriots or Steelers if they were to start Mahomes all season. And I'm starting to think that that was not the dumbest thing I've ever said, but whatever. We're never going to know. Because I have such a hard time convincing myself in any way whatsoever that this team is going to do anything now in the playoffs. Anyway, I don't know if it would be a morale hit or a morale boost for the locker room. I really don't. Matt Nagy has been very complimentary of Pat Mahomes. Travis Kelce has been very complimentary of Pat Mahomes. And Travis Kelce just said today that they can't beat a cover two defense. So maybe it's not inciting a mutiny, if that is what happens.
It may not be a mutiny, but there will definitely be, I feel like, some levels of resentment.
It depends on how those couple of games go. I mean, if Buffalo is going to throw 1,000 interceptions next week if Peterman starts, and their defense is going to give Alex Smith some trouble. But you go to the Jets next week, and you've got a pretty cushy schedule from here on out. Oh, it looks less cushy after yesterday because yesterday was the easiest game. Yesterday was by far, unequivocally, the easiest game on the Chiefs' entire schedule by 1,000 miles.
Really quickly, on the Facebook comments, we have a bring back Tyler Thigpen comment.
That would be bad for morale. That's the one that I'm willing to say. No, I'm saying that would be bad for morale. Sam commented and said, I posed the question a few weeks ago if trading Smith at the deadline and starting Mahomes would end up with the same result at the end of the season. Seems to be holding true. Problem is that Tyrod Taylor will be on the market next year, which I think would bring a higher trade value. So Tyrod Taylor is going to be a free agent next year, almost assuredly. I think NFL teams know that. I'd be surprised to see anybody pay to bring in Tyrod Taylor because they're going to be able to do it as a free agent, which hurts Alex Smith's value even more. Talked about that a little bit last week. Now, again, is the idea now that we have a bunch of people saying, well, what the result is what really matters, is kind of funny to me. Not to say that Sam and RJ and Clinton and everybody weren't here originally. It's just funny to me because I think, honestly, that's probably part of the people who listen to the show have a similar mindset to me. But it's funny to hear that now because the NFL is always about, like, oh, let's get your best chance. You know, it's all you got to go out there and give it a shot. And now we're sort of peeking around the corner, looking to the future a little bit. So yeah, if the Jags would have offered something for Alex Smith at the trade deadline, I think I said this at the time, I don't know what they were offering, but it also would have said 1,000 times in a row, it's not going to happen. Unless the Jags were going to say, we are going to win the Super Bowl this year, here are 3 first-round picks, I don't think the Chiefs would have done it. And now next year's quarterback market does look very different because at this point we know that Tyrod Taylor and Alex Smith are both available. And Tyrod Taylor is going to be available for just cash. But maybe a heavier contract at the front end. Thomas said, I love this team, but man, I'm just laughing at how bad we lost. Yeah, that's we started this show with laughing. We started this show by laughing at the intro and then by laughing at me being wrong about me and me telling I was going to launch myself into the sun if they lost to the Giants.
We even did that a little bit yesterday during the postgame show when I was very sad songs with very sad highlights.
You've got to, man. You've got to. And now, it's easier to laugh at these, by the way. Mahomes makes it easier to laugh at these, which sounds nuts, but give me a second. Because it doesn't feel hopeless. It feels like this team is hopeless, but I've been under the impression this entire year that eventually they're going to lose to the Patriots or Steelers in the playoffs, and the first 5 weeks gave me some hope that I might have been wrong. But before those I've had 5 of 52 weeks in the last calendar year when I thought the Chiefs might be an actual Super Bowl contender. Since then, every other week, the other 47 weeks, I would have told you that what they're doing now is playing with house money. Because they're not expected to win a Super Bowl, and they're not expecting to win a Super Bowl. It's just not there. And now listen, it might also not be there with Mahomes. I don't want to make this all about Alex Smith. Yesterday, Andy Reid deserves a huge, gigantic dollop of blame for the problems that showed up. They were undisciplined. The game plan was atrocious. The penalties are everywhere. Philip Gaines is still on the roster. But on the offensive side, they put up 9 points against the Giants. You know, in overtime, they went to overtime against the Giants and scored 9 points. That's hard to swallow. And so, as much as it falls on Alex Smith, it has to also fall on Andy Reid, probably more so. The difference is that you're not making a change there. You're not grooming your head coach of the future like you're grooming your quarterback of the future. Patrick Mahomes is gonna be here next season. It's not like Clark Hunt and Brett Veach have the secret plan to fire Andy Reid after this season and then make Matt Nagy the head coach. Obviously not happening. Andy Reid is here, period. And also, it's hard to say this after yesterday, but that is an unequivocal good thing. Now, I almost put out a poll yesterday and I didn't because I knew people would take it out of context and they'd go, dude, whatever. Bleep 4 of you in particular. Not exactly 4, but it feels like about 4. As I wanted to tweet out, is Andy Reid the best bad coach or the worst good coach? Oh, they're talking about Pat Mahomes on ESPN. They're showing Alex Smith throw interceptions, and then they're showing Patrick Mahomes throw touchdown.
I'm just seeing Brady throw touchdowns and just run all over the.
Oh, Lewis Riddick is talking about this. The subhead is Patrick Mahomes continues to impress. Chiefs 1-4 in last 5 games. Started 5-0.
Man, it'd be really nice television if I could see that instead of NFL Total Access.
Stop complaining. It hurts. You don't want to see this. All right, they moved on to Jameis Winston.
At least they're doing other things that aren't just complete NFL.
Go change one of the TVs in the next commercial break. You can. In the next commercial break, go fix the TVs. Go put freaking whatever, NBA Live on your screen, you addict. John said that the Chiefs have become a bad team and the Chargers are making a run to overtake them. I'm laughing not because that's dumb, but because it's not dumb. That's insane. like the Chargers are two games back right now, and they're going to get to play the Chiefs in a couple of weeks. They have to go to the Cowboys, I guess. No, that's not. Yeah, that's Thanksgiving. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah, they go. The Chargers are at the Cowboys for the Thanksgiving game. And then they have the Browns, then Washington at home, then they come to Arrowhead, then they go to the Jets, and they have the Raiders at home. The Chargers right now are the team in the AFC West that have momentum. Does that make you throw up in your mouth a little bit? It does for me.
And then Denver and Oakland play each other as well this weekend.
Not Thursday, but this weekend.
Yes, this weekend. That's what I said.
Yeah, I was making sure. Great. And so Manny asks, what would it hurt if we played Mahomes? Like a quarter a game? I don't know. I like Smith, but you see those throws that were short. Yeah, it is. It's hard to watch when you think you have the future back behind him. Right now, I'm under the impression that the future is best served by not immediately playing him. But that's kind of a hard thing to convince yourself of whenever you have to actually watch it. And you saw Deshaun Watson be great. And you see a guy like Jared Goff improving by being on the field. You see the Eagles running Andy Reid's offense with Carson Wentz because they have a quarterback they trust. I get it. I really do. Sam says it's a boxing term. The Chiefs have to dare to be great. And if you look at sports, most champions have done that. The Patriots are an example. They stayed with Tom Brady when Drew Bledsoe came back from injury. Trophies. I like punctuating things with this. Trophies. It feels like a very Drake move because I guess that's song. Whatever. Anyway. I get that. I was saying that, again, in the preseason. But you also have to, you have to protect your investment and give him the best environment to succeed. I'm not arguing against playing Mahomes just as much as I'm not arguing for it. I understand both sides. I would rather watch Patrick Mahomes play than Alex Smith. I mean, really, it's true. But I also, I don't want this season in a lustful rage to I don't want the Chiefs to bring Patrick Mahomes into the fold and put him behind an offensive line that is going to scare him to death also, or to put him in before he's actually ready, before he actually knows the offense inside and out, like you need the Noah West Coast offense. I don't know. I'm on the fence with it, man. I really am. I'm also hungry now, and that's a real disappointment. All right, we're gonna take a break. We're gonna take a break. I'm gonna see how long it takes for the instant mashed potatoes in my backpack to be cooked, or see if I can make it through another half hour and then go find some food. Even the Chiefs had it tough yesterday. This is a real struggle. At least I can beat it covered too.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Deshaun Watson's been a thrill. He looks really good. I'm glad that he's good because I like good young quarterbacks. Like, I'm excited that Carson Wentz exists. I'm excited that Jared Goff is playing well.
With Joshua Briscoe.
But I will never slander the good, pure name of Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes forever!
On ESPN Kansas City.
Hey, let's take a quick break from the sadness. I think it's a giveaway. If you want to go see basketball play tonight out at the Sprint Center for the Hall of Fame Classic, there's a game at 6... and another game later, I think 8:30. It's Creighton versus UCLA at 6, and Baylor versus Wisconsin as the second game. It's a Hall of Fame Classic out at the Sprint Center. These tickets that I have been given are center court, row 7. If you just want to sit close to a basketball game at the Sprint Center, you can do so by calling the show. You can call in here to the ESPN Kansas City hotline. I don't know why it's a hotline, but whatever, the phone. You can call the phone. You can call here at 913-491-8255. We have two pairs of two. That's what a pair is, I guess. Two pairs here. 913 491-8255. I'll give out the number again in a minute if you missed it a couple of times. Get your phone out, though. Two tickets to the Hall of Fame Classic tonight out at the Sprint Center. Wonderful tickets, two pairs of two. Center court, row 7, out of the Sprint Center. Again, if you want to call in, the first two people, just call. Two pairs of two. 913-491-8255. That's 913-Tyler Thigpen, Tom Bahali, Dwayne Bowe, D. Ford. If you don't get rid of both of them now, we'll give out the number again later, I guess. But call in and get these tickets. Also, you have to be able to pick them up at the Overland Park Union Broadcasting building. Someone has called in, so Beards, make sure you tell them that they have to come get it at the Union Broadcasting building. You might get to see LeVar Ball. Not LiAngelo, because he's not playing. I don't know, maybe he'll travel. That's fun, we got to give away things. Go see LeVar Ball. Go enjoy that experience. Also, if you call Internet Rings for a while, it's because Beards is, you know, just taking his dear sweet time. It's okay, that happens. We're going to go over now to the Twitter. Aaron has photoshopped an orc's head on Alex Smith's body, so that's good. I tweeted about the Cover 2 thing, and that's a problem, and somebody else brought in Seth Kaiser in the conversation, and Seth has mentioned that he's been saying the Chiefs have been struggling with zone looks for about 5 weeks now, and it's a really difficult thing for me to kind of accept, because this is supposed to be the strength of Alex Smith's game. The mental stuff, the behind-the-scenes stuff, the stuff at the line of scrimmage. That's supposed to be where he thrives. And it seems like that's not the case in any way whatsoever. Did I mention that the game is tonight? But if you want those tickets, by the way. One set is gone. Who? What, did they give you their name?
Austin.
Is it the Austin that listens to the show consistently? I'm guessing it's...
I need to see the last name of the other person. I don't remember off the top of my head.
All right, fine. Congrats.
But Austin. I am assuming so since they were listening.
One more time, M. Sorry for listening to the podcast. It's completely useless to you. But tonight, the Hall of Fame Classic semifinal at the Sprint Center. First tip-off is at 6. You got to come by the Overland Park offices here of Union Broadcasting. And if you get here during the show, we'll make Beards run them down. The others will like tape them to the front door with your name on the envelope or whatever.
I gave him instructions on how to get them from me.
Great. I'm telling that for everyone else if they want to call, want the other pair, though.
$80 Venmo.
Meet Beards outside, give him $40 in unmarked bills. Yeah, Beards selling them for $80, he's also selling them for $40. So if you want to go to the Sprint Center tonight, really good tickets to watch some fun basketball, maybe see LeVar Ball in the stands. If you do, by the way, please tweet us a picture, ideally of LeVar Ball traveling with his kid. I don't know if he's going to be here or not, but you know, it's worth a shot.
Well, let's put it this way. His kid's not playing.
That's for sure.
So,
maybe, probably not.
Probably not.
All right. Well, I don't know any other people involved with any of these places. I don't know. Who's the guy who played for Creighton? Who's Doug McDermott?
Doug McDermott.
Is Doug McDermott still at Creighton?
No, he's in the NBA.
Are you sure?
Yes, I'm very sure.
Are you sure he doesn't have his 18th year of eligibility?
His dad might still be the coach, though.
Go see Doug McDermott's dad.
Let me make sure.
Go see Mr. McDermott and Mr. Ball, maybe. But so if you want those tickets, it's 913-491-8255. Or, you know what, if you tweet me and you want these tickets, in fact, that's what we'll do, Beards, next segment. If we don't have anybody call in, I'll tweet out and say that we have two tickets and people can tweet me and get them. Anyway, the zone thing. Seth Kaiser was saying that the Chiefs have been having trouble with the zone for about 5 weeks now, which isn't really great.
Very quickly, Greg McDermott is still the coach at Creighton.
So go see Doug McDermott's dad.
Dad off.
And Ivan on Twitter has said that Andy Reid needs to give up the play calling, not even Belichick calls plays anymore, and he has 5 Super Bowl rings. This is really interesting. I don't know if I buy this. I don't know if I'm with that, because I know that Andy Reid likes to call the plays. He had Doug Peterson call the plays for part of last year. The problem is, from here on out, everybody who calls plays for an Andy Reid offense is going to get a job to be a head coach somewhere else. That's going to keep happening forever. And I'm guessing that Andy Reid just sort of gets sick of, like, turning it over to a new person. like, to make the only analogy literally directly in front of my eyes right now, if every time, if Beards was going to produce the show for 6 months, then he would go get a better job at a different show, and that would just keep happening every, like, 6 months, eventually I'd be like, well, maybe I'll push my own buttons, damn it. You keep leaving me. You keep leaving me. So I kind of understand the, I understand the hesitance for him to give that ability away. Maybe he gives it to Brad Childress. Childress has been up in the booth for a while. Maybe it's up to Childress. I don't know. I don't think it's ridiculous. I also don't think it's great. I don't know if that's the solution, whatever. The problem yesterday was more the game plan than the individual play calls. I mean, the play calling was bad. That is true. The play calling was bad, and I imagine, by the way, that being a head coach is already hard enough even when you're not calling plays. You don't have a whole lot of time to make a lot of decisions. So I think it would make absolute sense for a guy up in the booth to be calling the plays, a guy like Brad Childress. But that's not what the Chiefs are doing. Andy Reid likes calling plays, apparently. Keyshawn says it's ridiculous that Andy Reid, Alex Smith, and this offensive line can't come up with a couple of cover two beaters and execute. Prove it can beat zone coverage, and that will open up over-the-top plays we saw in the first 5 weeks. Yes! Yeah! Obviously! It kills me. It's baffling. And listen, I don't know if I could draw up some cover two beaters at this current moment in time. I don't really know. But you know what I definitely know? That Andy Reid should be able to. And that Alex Smith should be able to execute those. This is the problem at hand. You've got Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Kareem Hunt, and you scored 84 points against a team. Excuse me, that would have been great. You scored 9 points against a team that's given up 84 points in the last 2 weeks. Also, by the way, on Sunday Night Football last night, Rodney Harrison said that the Chiefs have to, quote, get back to playing with more passion. And I wasn't sure what he said immediately after that because in that moment I threw a rock through my television and I didn't hear what he said next. It's not a passion problem, man. I mean, listen, like, would Eric Berry be there to firing everybody up? Would that be better for the team? Sure, yeah. I'm not, but I'm less worried about Eric Berry's passion than I am worried about Eric Berry's play at safety. Like, that's what they really need. And so that's a problem. Well, a couple of bright spots, by the way, from yesterday. And in the last segment here in a few minutes, we'll talk about what I would do differently going forward. We'll talk about that at the end of the show. And then for the next, 6 months until next season kicks off. But a couple of bright spots yesterday. Reggie Ragland played really, really well. He was all over. He played a lot of snaps. He, in fact, played more than Derek Johnson did. Derek Johnson was even, apparently, I think it was a Pro Football Focus thing, graded out pretty well in his limited snaps. There were some things that were good, but that was about it. Beards, what just happened?
The mouse is going left when I'm trying to go right again.
It doesn't feel like it's that hard to just use that mouse okay. Like, I've used it less than you have, to be sure.
There are times where I will try and do stuff and it will just go, oh, is this what you meant to do? And then go off in the complete opposite direction. Like, I'm not joking.
You should be appreciative. The second computer in the 810 control room doesn't even have a mouse.
That's because the primary computer in the 810 room's mouse broke and had to steal a mouse.
At least they didn't steal it from us. That feels like the logical thing to have done. Just take an ESPN Kansas City mouse and see what happens.
Hey, by the way, is that computer next to you? Nobody uses that one, right?
I would love to use it.
It doesn't have a mouse, does it?
It has a mouse.
Or it does, yeah.
But it has no internet connection.
Oh, that's okay.
Which seems impossible because it means we can't use the call screener thing for all the calls that we take. And it means I can't use the internet for anything useful. Like maybe having like the game log up here, which would be nice. So we could have a second monitor to work with.
Seems to me I need to find a new mouse.
Seems to me like I might need to find a new producer who knows how to use a mouse okay. It's like this is a you problem. I think Beards just took us off the air. I think he just entered the show. He's gonna let me spew all my awesome Mahomes takes for the rest of the forever. Just forever.
Empty mic.
And I'll never know that we're going on. Myron. I've never had to say his name out loud. I should ask how to pronounce it. We'll say Myron for now. He said Mahomes could make throws that beat the cover two in his sleep. And I kind of agree with that, and it kind of hurts my soul. It's a really bad look for this Chiefs offense for Andy Reid and Alex Smith to be members of a team who can't beat a cover two. Also, Clinton has said accurately, I might add, on the Facebook page, Almost Entirely Sports, the show where Josh reads all of his tweets. And I have no counter argument to that. That is true and fair. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you what I would do if I was the head coach, even though we're doing it from the outside. It's hard to break it down. We're gonna try. That's next.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Oh, no, Beard just made a very upset face. Very Chiefy show after we figure out what the hell just happened to Beards.
The computer mouse and I are feuding today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You need nothing like that.
I went left and it went right. Literally, that's what it just did.
With Joshua Briscoe.
Whenever you occasionally hear anger in Beards' voice, it's because he's at war with equipment his own age.
On ESPN Kansas City.
That was a pretty good line by me. Equipment his own age is...
You're not wrong.
No, that's unbelievably accurate. All right, last call on those tickets. I put them out on Twitter, so we should get a response, I would think. Chiefs had some problems, if you're just joining us.
Nah, really?
Yeah. The Renee says that my hair looks great today, so you can always comment on the Facebook page if you want to talk about why Patrick Mahomes should start now, or you want to compliment my hair. That's all up to you on the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page. I have the tickets that I was talking about in here, and I just sort of want to like line them all up like Rush Limbaugh. It's kind of like, I feel like he was always ruffling papers.
I never listened, so I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I also never like made an appointment to listen to Rush Limbaugh. I just have heard him a lot.
Nah, I don't think I ever did.
I mean, maybe it was my parents, like my mom listening in the car when you're going to like garage sales or something in my childhood. I don't know. But I feel like I've heard Rush Limbaugh often enough, just kind of, I don't have any papers, but I have a Cheetos bag. And I'm like,
I think that's the safe equivalent of our show.
Hold on. Here we go. Hold on. Okay, so this is my Rush Limbaugh impression, but with zero politics and just how this show works. The Chiefs of Patrick Mahomes, the answer will be better.
If you weren't watching on the live stream, oh my gosh, you just missed out.
I'm gonna
try. The face that you made.
It was my...
You like puffed out your cheeks. And,
yeah.
And you made like an extra chin appear.
Yeah.
And it was amazing.
I'm looking forward to going back and looking at that after the show. Yeah, that was my Rush Limbaugh face, I think. I don't know.
Also, last week when I was, or earlier today when I was cutting the Last Week On stuff.
Yeah.
There was a clip of Charlie that I didn't end up using from Wednesday. Where he was reading some statement about Billy Preston, not R&B Billy Preston, where
right.
You were eating cookies
yes!
very loudly
yes!
into the microphone. That's what it reminded me of.
Yes. I can't believe they didn't make it into last week. Man, I tell you, we had two
funny stuff,
things
man. From
last
there
week.
There was a lot of
good
stuff.
Good job for us.
It'll be a liner.
That's exciting.
You'll hear it in about 2 months.
That's also true. Nobody wants these tickets, man. This sounds like so much fun. I was going to say that I wanted to, I would just go, but then
Beards made a very funny joke. You can't make jokes to me during the show because I'm always going to reference them. By the way, this is bonkers. Scott Barrett has tweeted out that the leaders in team running backs' yards per carry averages this year. The Eagles are third. The Saints are first. The Chiefs are second. The Chiefs are averaging nearly 5 yards per running back carry. And I'm sure it's gotten much worse in recent weeks. But that's completely bonkers. Stunned by that. Again, hugely influenced by the first 5 weeks, I'm sure. But I got a question to answer. On Twitter, Beards, can you play me some music or something? I don't know. You're on your phone, just like twiddling your thumbs, and also on your phone. All right, we're good. Sorry about that. Austin was asking if it was a single ticket or a pair of tickets. Not only is it a pair of tickets, we have another pair of tickets.
That's actually what I was looking at.
You ever wonder what it sounds like for 4 tickets to hit a microphone? It was
no, but I know now.
It's very sonically pleasing, if I'm being honest. Somebody on Arrowhead Addict is going to listen to the first, like, hour and a half of this show and then hear this and be like, this show is very silly. It doesn't seem serious at all. They made fun of Rush Limbaugh. After, like, maybe the sportsiest show we've done in at least a week, obviously, because there was no Chiefs last week.
Friday was pretty chiefy, though.
I guess. Not as chiefy as today.
No.
It's the sportsiest show we've done in a real long time.
But this is an extreme case, though. This is like all of the sadness of Chiefs fans just broiled over.
Yeah, and so,
we had to address it. Otherwise, we were going to get kicked off of Kansas City airwaves.
Right. And it's not entirely true. Because some show started today with Kansas basketball.
Because we didn't fulfill the contractual obligations of everybody that exists in Kansas City radio except for one person, which is you have to talk about Chiefs.
What was I gonna say even? What were we even talking about?
Sonically pleasing tickets, that's what.
Oh no, I was gonna admit to something. I'm guessing, so this is just like this, I'm just being very honest, and I hope everybody takes us okay. Like, whenever the Chiefs are good and then they lose to a bad team, that sets up for the best radio show, right? Other than, like, a big celebration. I am a Chiefs fan. I was a Chiefs fan long before I was covering the Chiefs in any way whatsoever. So I want to make that overwhelmingly clear.
I would say that's definitely a yes for, like, post-game shows and stuff.
Yeah.
Because usually, like, when it's a win or when it's a blowout win, especially, or just a close something or other, it's just kind of like, you know.
Because what are you talking about? Oh, that was good.
We get some calls. We'll get some okay audio, but it's pretty much just, you know, oh, yeah, they look good.
Right. And there's nothing to fix.
Right.
Today we're fixing the Chiefs.
There's always so much praise you can dish out.
Right. Praise gets redundant after a while. There are 1,000 things you can criticize. So.
Oh, and we figured them all out yesterday.
Yes. Oh, we're going to get this whole week to sort of work around a little bit and say, oh, what can we criticize here? What can we criticize over here?
Your opinion. Are the Chiefs a storied franchise?
Okay, so listen here. I have to set this up. This is going to probably eat the rest of the show. Tomorrow we'll start by talking about what I would do if I was in Andy Reid's shoes. First of all, I'd buy smaller shoes.
Donuts. I mean, I would do that anyway, but just, you know, I just want donuts.
Right. What was it? Okay, so we'll talk about what I would do if I was Andy Reid tomorrow.
But yesterday over on 810, the Chiefs postgame show with Danny Klingscale and Jack Harry and Frank Bull, they ended up having a discussion about if the Chiefs are a storied franchise. It started because Danny mentioned, he said, the Chiefs are lucky to be brought in on these conversations from these people in New York saying, like, oh, it's a matchup between two storied franchises. Danny said, what are the Chiefs storied for? What have they won to deserve being called storied? And Jack was getting very upset, it seemed like, with the conversation and the disrespect, I guess, being given to the Chiefs. Here's what, the Chiefs are a quote-unquote storied franchise in exactly one way and for exactly one reason. Lamar Hunt, like, started this-ish. Like, Lamar Hunt was an AFL founder that became a half of the NFL. So the Chiefs are one of the franchises with a story, I guess. But then so are the Chiefs and the Chargers and the Raiders. And I know some of those teams have moved, and the Chiefs have stayed in Kansas City since they've moved from Dallas. And they moved from Dallas still, too. Like, I don't know. Listening to that conversation was completely bonkers. And wonderful radio.
Watching it was even better.
It was. So the Chiefs are not a storied franchise. I mean, that's... Steve Young...
They have history.
Shut up. Steve Young just bit the head off of a fish on ESPN.
NFL Network, why do you deceive me? No!
Steve Young just bit the head off a fish! What?
Well, we're doing the wrong show.
I will never again ever be told this show's not serious enough. Steve Young just bit the head off a fish! And the Chiefs aren't a storied franchise. They have, like, one playoff win in my lifetime. And one Super Bowl ever. I mean, not a storied franchise. Whatever. All right, good show today. Hope you guys enjoyed it more than we enjoyed the game yesterday. We'll be back tomorrow to do a lot of the same stuff, but more helpful. Bye, Mom.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.